This morning. I tell you, I just really appreciate seeing all of God's people together in one place. It just brings my heart joy, and I know that God is overjoyed in seeing his people. And I don't just say that. There's so many people that I see that I haven't seen in such a long time. And just the time of the year being Thanksgiving, and it just does my heart well to see you and to know that we are brothers and that we are sisters in Christ. Amen. And not only that, it's a good thing to see our young people participating in the worship service. Our young people, they participate in sports and participate in all types of activities. So to see them in the worship service, it feels good. I'm telling you, it feels good. And it feels good just because this says to me that there are people who are taking God seriously. I'm telling you, that's something. That's something when God's people, despite the rain, will come together and take God seriously. Let me say this. There is nothing more important. There is nothing more important than your relationship with God. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're middle-aged. I don't care where you are in life. There is nothing more important than your relationship with God. There's nothing more in life than him. And I appreciate my brother. I don't call him brother-in-law. That's my brother. And I appreciate him, and I'm telling you, I just remember, when he and my sister got married. I tell you, it's hard. But I was 17 years old when they got married, and now my nephew is about to graduate. He's 17 years old and playing football, and we had a good time over Thanksgiving and just being able to spend time with them. I tell you, life is good. And it's good because God is good. God is good. I can sit down. God is good. God is good. God is good. Anyway, I'm going to preach, I hope. my text was given to you earlier, John 19 and 25. And we'll read it. But before we read that text, I'd like to take for a subject. It is finished. It is finished. When you think about life and you think about what it is that we're doing in life, someone once said that it's not so much how you start, but it is how you finish. And you know, the beginning of a thing is oftentimes a lot different than the end of a thing. And you know, you can do so well at the end that it doesn't matter how you started. People have forgotten because you finished. And so when I think about life, we all start from somewhere. Amen? Some of us started behind the start line. And, broken families and single parent homes. It's just the reality. Disabilities, different things that go on in life. Some people and some of us have started from behind. And then you have those who start from the start line. Those who have both parents in the home. They have what most people would think would be normal. And then you also have those who start ahead. Y'all ever seen, you ever heard the saying, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. They have all of the advantages, all of the access, all of the exposure to the best things in life. But we all start from somewhere. Not only that, but when you think about life, we all are moving at different paces. Some are running. Some have gotten to the point where we're just walking. Amen. And then there are others who are crawling. And then you got some who have almost given up and they find themselves stuck. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but we're all in this life and we're somewhere right now. We're somewhere and we're running the race that we call life. We're all in different positions as well. When you think about it, some are just starting. I think about my nephew Jay and many of the young people who conducted the first part of this service. You know, optimistic, full of life, love, you know. And then there's some who are in the middle of the race or in the middle of life and it's getting hot and heavy, taking your kids different places. And y'all know, y'all looking at me like I'm the only one. And then there's some who are in the, not final stages, but the last leg of the race. And so we all are in different places. But as I said, it doesn't matter where you are right now. It's all about how you what? How you finish. And that's what I want to encourage you. And I want to inspire you this morning to think about finishing, because it doesn't matter where you are right now. You can be behind the eight ball. You can be on top. But guess what? That does not determine how you will finish. And so we want to think about finishing. And I mean every one of us, from the youngest to the old. If you imagine the end before you right now, guess what? That will take you where you need to go. I tell you, I believe that the problem with the world, and I'm going to tell you, I think there's one major problem with the world. And there are a lot of problems with the world. And we know that the major problem is sin, but I think that it is the way that we think about life. And I believe that this problem has filtered into the church. And that problem is this, is that we believe, and I shouldn't come down yet. I'm always tempted to talk to y'all, but the problem is that we believe, and hear me out, we believe, or the world believes, that we can be more and do more without God. Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And you don't like it because I just said it, and you don't like that I said it, but I said it. But I said it because it is true. We believe that we can be more. And we believe that we can do more without God. I'm telling you. I know that I'm right about this because it's where we put our priorities. Somehow, we believe that our priorities, our dreams, our ambitions, the things that we want to do in life. We don't have time for ministry. We don't have time for Bible study. We don't have time to teach and to pray and to meditate on what God's will is for our life. And we don't have it because we are too busy with our priorities. Now, here's the litmus test. Watch this now. If you believe, by show of hands, let me ask it a different way. If you want to be successful in life, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you want what is best for your kids, raise your hand. Come on now. Every hand should be up. If you want what is best in your own life, raise your hand. We all do. We all do. Now, if we thought that the way to achieving success and the way to having the best for ourselves, if we thought that it was through a relationship with God, guess where we would be? guess how we would spend our time? We would knock down the doors to be here. Why? Why? All you got to do is ask Atkins. People will spend $8 on 5 bars. And I know. Milkshakes. Why? Why? Because they want to look good. Amen. You let somebody come out with a new diet, we're going to get it. Why? Because we want to look good. You let someone have a new program that is going to give your kids an advantage, we're going to pay for it. Why? Why? Because we want what is best. Now, here's what the truth is. The truth is, young man, is that you will never fulfill your potential without God. You'll never be what you could be without God. I'm telling you, God has created all of us. And from the youngest all the way to the oldest, he has given us something special. He designed you the way that you are. You don't have to look like a magazine model. He made you how he wanted you to be. The talents and the abilities that you have, guess what? Guess who gave them to you? God gave them to you. And let me tell you something. He has a purpose for your life. And I had a PowerPoint that I was going to use, and I've run off. This was the first slide. I don't even know how to switch. Switch it for me. Anyway, the point that I'm making is that we can never and will never be what God intends for us to be without him. I'm telling you, without God, all of us are just another lost soul trying to find identity, trying to find purpose, trying to find meaning, trying to figure it out. And we're doing all of this when the answer is in the book. And that's what I want to show you. That's what I want to show you. This is us. This is us. I'm telling you, this is us. God has given us all of these pieces that make us us. He's given you, some of you have a sharp tongue, amen, and you can use that sharp tongue. Some of us have creativity. Some of us have all of these different things. Right here, you have your relationships. You have your job. You've got your spiritual family. And what we're trying to do in life is we're trying to make all of these pieces work. I'm telling you, if I showed you a picture and I said this, that the designer designed it to be a truck, and I gave it to you, and you tried to assemble it, there's not a person in here who would assemble it the way that it was meant to be assembled. Why? Because these pieces, you don't have the what? You don't have the instructions. Now, this is you. And I've already told you that God created you. And God has the what? He has the instructions. But you know what we do? We listen to Oprah. And we want Oprah to tell us how to make, where does the wheel go, Oprah? And you got a truck with one wheel. It should have four. But you got wheels up here. And you got pieces that you're trying to make fit over here. You with somebody you ought not be with. Why? Because we're trying to do it according to how we think and according to what the world says. But guess what? There is an instruction manual. And the instruction manual tells us there's the instruction manual. And I tell you, if you ever have purchased Legos, They tell you step by step, piece by piece. And I'm telling you, by the end, it functions the way it was supposed to. It looks the way it was supposed to. If you ever want to look at the world And I'm a prosecutor. I tell you, I see so much. I see so many people who have just thrown their lives away. And the reason they have thrown their lives away is because they don't have God in their life. You want to know why Chicago has one of the highest murder rates in the world? It is because we have parents who don't give their children the instructions. I'm telling you, you want to know why there's so many broken families? You want to know why we have, and I don't want to get funny, but if you look at our world is the way that it is because we think and we feel that we can be more and do more without God. Now, that's what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I'm telling you, a man has to respect God. A man has to acknowledge God before he can see himself. You don't know who you are. You don't understand who the people that you are in relationships are. A man cannot understand the dynamics of life until he sees himself the way that God sees him. And until we take a step back and see God. That's what he said. When he says fear God, he's talking about acknowledging God, respecting God. And when a man respects God, he can see things through the proper lens. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that it's all about God, even in the church. I'm telling you, the message is that not everybody is going to be a preacher. Not everybody is going to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody is going to be an elder or a deacon or a wife of one of these people. But you know, that does not mean that there is not something for all of us to do. That's what the message is. The message is that God designed you and God created you to do something. And God has always, and just hear me out, God has always worked with men. He's always done it. There are no age requirements. He worked with David. David was a little boy. And guess what? He had a purpose for David. There's no gender restrictions, not in terms of purpose. He worked with Sarah the same way that, not the same way, but he worked with her just like he worked with Abraham. Abraham needed Sarah. Guess what? Young lady, there is a role for you, a specific role. And we have to look at life and see that God expects us to work within his will. Now, if you'll put up John 19 and 25, and then I'm going to preach my lesson. Y'all say, man, that's the lesson. But my lesson's going to be quick. The first half, that was just getting you guys primed in terms of how to think about my lesson. And now we're going to preach it. This is my favorite example. We can look at Adam and Eve. We can look at Noah and how God commissioned him to build the ark. We can look at Abraham. We can look at Moses. We can look at how David established the kingdom. Solomon built the temple. But here is the best example that I could give you. The Bible says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled it with a sponge of vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is what? He said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In other words, what Jesus sees and what you have to see is that Jesus is dying. He's on the cross and he has an entourage, the disciples and his mother and his mother's friends. And he says to his mother, he says, "Look at me." He said, "I'm your son. Look at me. Look at me. I know I'm on the cross. You don't want to see me, but look at me." He says, "Mother, these are your sons." And he says, "Disciples, this is your mother. Take care of her." But I imagine that during this time, he is looking over his life. He's looking at everything that he was commissioned to do from the beginning of time. And he knows that there's one last thing that he has to do. He has to die for the sins of the world. And so before he gives up the ghost, he is able to look at his life and he says, "It is finished." Paul says it the same way, because Jesus understood that he was sent to do something. And we have to understand that we are sent to do something. I'm telling you, you are significant in God's purpose. You are significant in God's plan. There is something that God intends for you to do, and if you don't do it, it won't be done. At your job, how many do you know that preach the gospel in its truth? Guess what? Guess why you're there? Guess why you're there in your neighborhood? How many people do you live with who know the truth? Guess what? You have a specific purpose. And Jesus understood this. And he understood that he was equipped and that it was up to him alone to complete this task. Watch how Paul puts it in 2 Timothy 4 in verse number 7. He says, "I have fought a good what? I fought a good fight." He says, "I have what? I have finished my course." And then he says, "I have kept the faith." 3 points, quick points. Your course, number one, is your own. Number two, your course requires you to fight. And number three, at the end, you want to be able to say, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Matthew 25 and 14 gives us the parable of the talents. And I want you, if you will, just turn over there. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at that and we're going to put Jesus's life on top of it. And then we're going to close. Johnny, if you'll read Matthew 25 and 14 for me, what does the Bible say?
"For the kingdom of heaven,"
he says,
"is as a man traveling into a far country."
Uh-huh.
"Who called his own servants."
Read.
"And delivered unto them his goods."
Uh-huh.
"And unto one he gave 5 talents.
Right.
"To another 2.
Mm-hmm.
"And to another 1.
Read.
"To every man according to his several abilities."
What I want you to see in this text is that there is a master who gives his 3 servants talents. He gives one man 5 talents. He gives one man 2 talents. And he gives the last man 1 talent. Now, watch this now. He gives them these talents according to what?
His several abilities.
According to their abilities. First thing is that all of these men have different work. All of them. He didn't give them all the same work. He gave them all different work. Now, watch how he gave them different work, because I'm making a point. He gave them different work according to what? According to their abilities. They were not all given the same ability. All of them were unique. All of them had different talents. All of them had different skills. All of them had different things that they could do. And so the master doesn't give the one who has a 1 talent ability 5 talents. He gives him one. He gives him 1 talent. And it's all according to their what? To their ability.
Now, even when you lay Jesus' life on top of that, I'm going to show you. Jesus understood that he was unique in what his purpose was, and he understood that his pedigree was different, because watch, when the mother of James and John comes to him, and she says, I've got something that I want to ask you. Will you grant my two sons to sit on your left and to sit on your right? Watch what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you have Matthew 20 and 21, watch what he said. He says, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? What he is saying is this. He's saying that I have been given a cup to drink from. And let me tell you, you want your sons to sit on my left and my side, but you can't drink of my cup. You haven't been given the pedigree to drink of the cup that I will drink of. You can't go to the cross because you are not me. I'm telling you, the problem in the church is that many of us are trying to drink from each other's cups. There's enough work for all of us in the church, but we all want to drink from the other person's cup. I can't drink from my father's cup. I can't drink from Johnny's cup. As much as I respect those men, my ministry is different than their ministry. I'm telling you, I love their sermons, but I can't preach them. Why? Because God has given me a unique personality, and I have to filter God through who I am. And guess what? There are some listeners who don't like me. But there are some whose life I bless. Why? Because I am his unique vessel. And what am I saying? I'm saying that you are his unique vessel. There are people, Brother Brown, that you can touch that I cannot touch. There are people who will listen to you that will not listen to me. I don't care what you say about me. Now, I want you to look at this text. Point number two, I told you we'll move quickly. Verse 16 of Matthew 25, he says, then that he, pick that up for me, Johnny.
Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same.
Bible says that he did what?
Went and traded.
The Bible says that he went and he did what?
He traded
the same. Read.
And made them other five talents.
Read.
And likewise, he that received two, he also gained.
He did what? Hold on. There's one that traded, and then there's one that also did what? He gained. He's trading, and he's gaining. He's trading, and he's gaining. I'm telling you, they put the master's money to use. When you look at the life of Jesus, what is Jesus doing? The Beatitudes. When he's enlightening those listeners of what it means to truly follow God, what is he doing? He says that he doesn't speak of himself. What he speaks and what he does, it came from God. That's what Jesus said. So when you see him ministering, he's trading. He's trading. He's gaining. When he's with his disciples and they're watching him heal those who are sick, what is he doing? What are you doing? Jesus, why do you give sight back to the blind? It's because I am what? I am trading. All right. Jesus, why are you healing the sick? It's because I was sent here and God gave me something, and so I am trading. He's gaining. When he's out there on the sea and the winds and the waves, they're boisterous, and he calms them by saying, peace be still. What are you doing, Jesus? He's trading. I'm telling you, when we look at our own lives, what God has given us, what are we doing? Trade where you are. If you're a mother, trade with your children. We read Cat in Hat to them. Why don't we read the Holy Scriptures to them? In your neighborhood, what are we doing with what God has given us? Are we using it on the job? What are we doing? Are we training? Are we gaining? What is our purpose? Even in the church, I'm telling you, we have things that we pay for. You look at that. I don't know how much it costs, but that costs money. And you have people in the church who have the skills to do that type of thing. Guess what? The expectation is, why did God give it to you? We got to think about what it is I can do for God. How can I use this gift? How can I bless other people? But see, here's what we think about. See, the master gave them the money. These people didn't spend it on themselves. The master didn't come back and they had a big old house and a fancy car. No. When the master came back, he blessed them. He blessed them. They didn't bless themselves with what wasn't theirs. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we have to think about it. I don't know if y'all are getting this, but we have to be thinking outside the box. How do I do, or how do I use what God has given me? And the last point, Matthew 25 and verse number 19. Let's look at this. I want you to see that not only did he trade, but he kept the faith. Watch this now. After a long time, verse number 19, Jenny.
The Lord of those servants.
Uh-huh.
And reckoneth with them.
Mm-hmm. Verse 24, drop down.
Then he which had received the one talent came.
Uh-huh.
And said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man.
Mm-hmm.
Reaping where thou hast not sown.
Read.
And gathering where thou hast not strawed.
Verse 25. Pay special attention here.
And I was afraid.
He says, I was what?
Afraid.
He says, I was what?
Afraid.
He says, I was what? Come on, church. He said, I was afraid. I'm going to tell you. There are two things that motivate people. Fear. And faith. Fear seeks to maintain because it is afraid that it cannot gain. Faith seeks to gain. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what I see and how ugly things look. Faith sees what is not there. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. I'm on my job and things don't look good, but I know that I'm in God's hands. I'm telling you, I'm struggling with paying my mortgage, but I understand that I'm in God's hands. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. People don't like me, so what? I'm not afraid. People love me and I'm on top of the world. I'm not afraid. God give it, God take it away. Blessed be the name of God. It does not matter to me. I can have it all or I can have nothing. But guess what? I'm in God's hands. Oh, I don't want to be in any other place but in God's hands. Oh, it doesn't matter about the waves or the winds because I'm in God's hands. Oh, you can talk about me, but guess what? I'm in God's hands. Watch this now. Watch Jesus. Jesus was afraid. Y'all remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knows that he is about to go to the cross. And he asked those who have been following him, those who have seen the miraculous things that he has done. He says, pray with me. But they keep falling asleep. So he prays by himself. Watch his prayer. He says the first time, he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from. He's seeking to maintain his life. He knows what is coming, but he doesn't want to confront being spit on and kicked and beat and punched and carrying the cross and stabbed and being mistreated and cursed at. And so he says, this cup is heavy. Yeah. let it pass from me. And then a second time, after a while, he prays again. And he says, if it be thy will, Father, let this cup pass from me. But the third time, prayer works. That third time, he understood. Watch what he says. He said, not my will. Not my will. Not my will. But thy will be done. What is he saying? This is what he understood in that moment. And this is what we have to understand as we try to finish this race, is that we don't have to be afraid. Because in God's will, you cannot lose. You don't have to be afraid, young man. They might be bigger than you. They might be faster than you. They might be more committed than you. They might, whatever it is in life, in God's will, you cannot, you will not lose. And so he goes to the cross. Now, look at the examples of Noah. Look at the examples of Abraham. These were normal men. They weren't special. They were normal men, but you know what made them special? Is that they obeyed God, and God saw a heart in them that responded to him. And you know what? He blessed Noah to save the world. Noah didn't know he could save the world. He was just a man who loved God and submitted himself to God's will. Let me tell you something. Abraham, he wasn't nobody special, but he loved God. And he did what God told him to do. God could trust him. And he became the father of this church. The father of many nations. Why? And we remember him. Tell me about George Washington. Abraham is the father of faith. I'm telling you, you can be somebody with God. But without God, you just like everybody else, bumping into each other, trying to figure it out, listening to Oprah, listening to Dr. Phil, happy one day, sad the next day. I want to be a Kardashian. Now I want to be, what? Trying to figure it out. Facebook and Twitter, we need some Bible. We need some Jesus. Now, this is my last question for you to think about. Think if Jesus would have chosen fear. Where would the church be? Where would the forgiveness of sin be? Where would you be? Damn to hell. Why? Why? Because he allowed his doubt, he allowed his fear to get in the way of God's purpose. You can't allow it. We got to choose faith. We've got to finish no matter what the world throws at us. We got to go through it. Why? Because he has a purpose for us. Let's understand our significance in the kingdom. Let's know that he gave us something special and nobody can take it from you. And let's identify that and then let's trade it wherever we are. You don't have to be in the church. In your neighborhood, trade. And I'm telling you, when you come up against something difficult, choose. Choose faith. I know you got people around you who say, man, you ought to ditch that loser. You got people around you who say, well, if that was me, I would have told her a long time ago. But God said, love those who use you. That's faith. That's choosing faith. Doing it the way that God said do it. No matter what the world says around you, even though it sounds stupid. I'm coming to church. Even though they say that it does not make sense, I'm going to do it because God said it, and that settles it. And if you do that, guess what? You'll finish. You'll finish. You've heard the word. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and be willing to go down with him in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. I don't know why he chose that. I don't know why he chose that. He could have just saved you. But guess what? He asked that you demonstrate your faith by hearing his word, by believing it no matter what the world says. You got to repent. Confess and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come now, as together we stand and sing, will you come? Is there one? Is there one this morning?
When we walk with us.